If I say that I love God and I proclaim his word with a fervor, if I have tell you that I have cast out demons, if you have seen me do, in a sense, miracles, or if I say I have a word from God, does that make me legitimate? Does that make me the real thing? Well, Paul was very concerned about those at Philippi. He was concerned that they would beware of a certain class of people. We'll talk about it today. Well, beloved, we have come to Philippians chapter 3, an awesome, awesome chapter. As a matter of fact, of all the chapters of Philippians, I think that Philippians chapter 3 is my favorite. We're not going to touch on my favorite part today, but we have come to this very important section of Philippians where Paul is very concerned about the ones that are in Philippi, about the recipients of his letter. And so he opens, or he changes. He kind of, in a sense, pivots. You've seen a pivot in a basketball court. They're going in one direction, they stop, and then they turn and they go in another direction. Well, this is what he is doing. And in chapter 3, verse 1, this is what he says. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You say, hey, what's new? I mean, he's been telling him to rejoice ever since he began the letter. He's been talking about joy. He's been talking about rejoicing. Yes, this is our epistle of joy. This is our epistle of rejoicing. And yet, you know what? It is not always easy to rejoice. And so what he goes on to say is, to write the same things again is no trouble for me, and it is a safeguard for you. Paul is concerned about the well-being of those in Philippi. He's concerned about this church that the Lord used him to establish. And he wants to make sure that they are walking the right way. And you know what? I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about you, and I feel like you and I have a very special relationship. And I feel that way because you're downloading the study guides that we have for you. You say, what study guides? Well, go to preceptsforlife.com. That's preceptsforlife.com, and you can download the study guide on Philippians. You say, but we're already in the third chapter. Well, listen, there's a lot more to do. And not only that, but wherever you start with me, you want to start in the study guide. And the reason you want to do that is because you need to know truth for yourself. That's what this program is all about, helping you learn how to study the Bible so that you can discover God's precepts for life. And as you discover God's precepts for life, beloved, then it's a safeguard for you. And so Paul is saying, I'm going to tell you again to rejoice. I have said it before. It is a safeguard for you. Why? Because the minute you rejoice, you stop looking at circumstances and you look at Jesus Christ. Remember, joy is Jesus first, others second, and you third. Now, we're going to come to the you part of this chapter. And like I said, I think it's my favorite part of Philippians. And we're going to come to that in a later program. But right now, what he's doing is he's making a transition. And he's making a transition because not only is it a safeguard for them to rejoice, to look at any circumstance and say, hey, because I'm in Christ, because Jesus is my life, because I have the mind of Jesus Christ, because Christ is my goal, and that's what we see in chapter 3, then I can rejoice. Because what is going on does not affect my relationship with Christ. Rather, listen carefully, it becomes a platform for me to show others the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So I can show that Christ is my life. So it doesn't matter whether I live or die, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. I can show that I can have the mind of Christ so that I don't walk and act like the rest of the world, but I work out my own salvation through fear and trembling, and I'm showing that Christ is in me, both to work and to do of his good pleasure. Now we come to chapter 3. And when we come to chapter 3, we're going to see that later on he's going to talk about attitude. He is not finished with this right attitude of life, this right mentality. But before we come to that, he wants to say, beware, beware, beware. He's saying, watch out, watch out, look out for three kinds of people, or three attributes of people that may be rolled into one person. What I want to do is I want to read to you verses 1 through 6, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss it. So you follow along with me. Now remember, you're to mark every reference to the author in one color and every reference to the recipients in another color. I suggested a blue or a purple for the author, and for the recipients, I suggested an orange. And so you would just color them. Don't put symbols there because your Bible will get too marked up. But the colors are very good because it helps you look at, if you look at every color that you marked about Paul and Timothy, the authors of this book, then what you're going to do is you can make a list and you can see what the book tells you about them. The same when he writes to those in Philippi. So you can see that. So let me read for you. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble for me, and it's a safeguard for you. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. Now, what I did was I took my Bible marking pens, and they're micro pens, and you can get them in a 005, and that's the finest, and it'll help you just do it lightly so it doesn't bleed through the paper as much. But I just did a squiggly line around beware, and I did it in red because it catches your attention. And I wanted to be able to see what he tells me to beware of, because listen, this is a safeguard for me also. So he says, I'm to beware of dogs, I'm to beware of evil workers, and I'm to beware of the false circumcision. Why? For we, the author, we, Timothy, are the true circumcision. So immediately what you see is there's a contrast here. And remember, when you observe the text, you want to look for contrasts. So you have the false circumcision and you have the true circumcision. And he says, you beware of those, for we are the true circumcision. He goes on to say, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Jesus Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, as you write this, as you read this, he's got a list of three things. And these three things are important. And so what I did is you can take a pencil in case you want to erase it later, or you can take a fine point pen and do a 1 and a 2 and a 3. So what I did is I said, we are of the true circumcision. Who? And the reason I'm numbering this list is because he's going to define to me what the true circumcision are like. So the true circumcision, number 1, worship in the Spirit of God. Number 2, they glory in Christ Jesus. And number 3, and you would put a 3 there, they put no confidence in the flesh. Now, he says, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. So let's stop here. We see the word confidence in the flesh, and this is an important word. And you realize it because he repeats it 3 times, and he's talking, and if you understand about the false circumcision and the true circumcision, then you understand it even more. Now, we're going to understand that, but not today. But we're going to look at it because it's very important. But confidence in the flesh. And so what I did is I colored it brown. And again, I used a color and I marked it 3 times. And then it says, if anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh. So once again, we see the word mind used. Now remember, mind and attitude are basically the same thing. So over every reference to attitude and over every reference to mind, we want to put that A. Okay, we want to put that big A so that we see how important our mind is, how important our attitude is. Then he says, I far more. And then he's going to tell you why he has confidence in the flesh. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day. I'm of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is found in the law, I was blameless. But the things, and I'm going to read verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. And we come to that word things, and we're going to mark it later, because what he's going to show you is that you can have joy despite things. And we'll talk about that later. But what I want us to do is I want us to go back up and I want us to look at the beware. Now remember, it's a safeguard for them to rejoice. It is also an important and a safeguard for them to know what they are to beware of, what they are to look out for, what they are to watch for. Now, the word beware, all three of those bewares are in the present tense in the Greek. If you have an inductive study Bible, which is the kind of Bible that I use and which is the kind of Bible I recommend for everybody, because it doesn't give you an interpretation of the text. Rather, it shows you how to mark your Bible. It gives you instructions on that. But in the back, it explains the tenses of the verbs. And so when you go back there, you see that a present tense is a continuous action. In other words, what he is about to tell them is so absolutely critical that he wants them to do this as a habit of life. Keep on being aware of evil workers. Keep on being aware of dogs. Keep on being aware of the false circumcision. Why? Because if you're not beloved, then you are liable to put confidence in the flesh, or you're liable to be ensnared by those people. That's what we'll talk about when we come back.
I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
Who you listen to, beloved, and who you follow is very, very critical. And this is why Paul is so concerned. Paul is so concerned because he wants them to make sure that he knows who's a dog and who is an evil worker and who is of the false circumcision. Why? Because these kinds of people or this kind of person, by their character and by their deeds and by their doctrine, can lead others astray. And today, when we, through the media and the internet, have so many opportunities to hear all sorts of people, we really need to be careful. Now, Paul was concerned about this, and he was concerned about this before he ever wrote this epistle to those in Philippi. And I want us to go back to Acts chapter 20. Remember now that Philippians, as I told you, is a prison epistle. And Paul was not put in prison until the end of the book of Acts. And so he's on his missionary journey, and he's on his third missionary journey. And he knows that prison, that chains await him. God has shown him this. So what he has done is he is on his way back to Jerusalem, and he is taking a gift of support to the saints there. And as he prepares to go there, because his time is short, he asks the Ephesians elders to come down and meet with him in Miletus. And when they come and meet with him, we have this wonderful account of what he is telling him. His last words, or he feels like they may be his last words, because he knows he's going to go to prison. Now, we know from studying all the scriptures that Paul is in prison at least two times under the Roman Empire. Of course, he starts in Caesarea or Caesarea, and then he moves to Rome, and he's imprisoned there. And then he's imprisoned again at the end of his life, and he ends his life by being beheaded for the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a glorious way to die. You say, I'm not so sure. Well, we'll study that one day, and you will see that it was a privilege for him to die for Jesus Christ. And it ought to be, and it will be, if Christ is your life, beloved, and if you have the mind of Jesus Christ, and if you have the right attitude about things and about life. But let's look at Acts chapter 20. In verse 25, he says, "And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God," or what he's saying here is the whole counsel of God. Now, what, and this is so crucial, and this is why Precepts for Life teaches you how to study the Bible for yourself and takes you through the Bible book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that you get the whole counsel of God. Many times what happens is we preach and we decide on a message, and then we go to this scripture and get our something to support our message, and then we go over here and we go over here. And that's all right. That's topical preaching. And there's nothing wrong with it. But if you do not know the teaching of every book of the Bible, then you can watch, and people will take verses out of context. And when you take a verse out of context and you teach it as a truth, it becomes a pretext, and then you're in trouble because you haven't believed according to the whole counsel or the whole purpose of God. So this is what Paul has been doing. Now, he goes on to say, "Be on guard for yourselves." Remember, Philippians 3 opens up, it is a safeguard for you. Philippians 3 opens up with beware, beware, beware. Keep on being aware. Why? You have to be on your guard. Now, why do you have to be on your guard? He says, "Be on your guard for yourselves." Now, he's talking to the elders. He's talking to the pastors. He's talking to those that are the heads of the church. "Be on your guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers," or has made you episcopos, or like bishops. In other words, you are an overseer, and you are responsible for your care of that flock. I'm responsible for what I teach you. I am going to give an account for every single thing I have taught. And if I have twisted scripture, if I have distorted scripture, if I have manipulated the text in order to manipulate you, to get you to give me money, to get you to like me, so that I'm not going to speak about sin, because if I speak about sin, then you're not going to like me. And listen, you can't give the gospel without speaking about sin, because the gospel is this: that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. So we've got to give the whole counsel of God. And we've got to, out of love, talk to you about sin. Out of love, Paul has to talk to them about false teachers, about dogs, about evil workers, about the false circumcision. He has to talk to them here, and he has to warn them. Remember, he thinks he's never going to see them again. And so he is giving them important instructions. And he is saying, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Listen, you are precious to God. And I have to treat you that way. How precious are you to God? Well, God purchased you with the blood of his son. It was the death of Jesus that brought you into the family of God. God, that's how precious you are. Precious one, you are precious to God. And so he goes on to say this. He says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. He says, and from among your own selves, now catch this, from among your own selves in your church. He goes on to say, from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. In other words, he's saying, you're in charge of this church, and you have to be on guard. You have to watch over the flock, and you have to watch over the flock, because if you don't, then these men that are like savage wolves, or these men that are dogs, these men that are evil workers, these men that are of the false circumcision, are going to come in, and they're going to draw away others after themselves. And he goes on to say, he says, therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I stayed in your city for 3 years. I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. In other words, I warned you, I warned you, I warned you. Beware, beware, beware. Well, you know, not only Paul warned them, but Jesus had warned them. Go to Matthew chapter 7. And Matthew chapter 7 is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is concerned. And what he says in verse 15 is, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They come going, but really, they are snarling at you. They want to devour you. And he goes on and he says, you will know them by their fruits. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not in your name cast out demons? Did we not in your name perform many miracles? And Jesus says, and I will say to them, I never knew you. You never were mine. You were false. You were not true. You were evil and not good. Oh, beloved, this is so important. Don't miss the next program. You've got to beware, and you have to know what to beware of.
The Encounter Student Conference is more than an experience. It is a weekend designed to encourage and equip students in the Word of God and establish a process of discipleship that they can continue to walk out in their homes and churches. Over the course of the weekend, students and their leaders will encounter God while learning practical skills that will allow them to dig into the Word through the inductive study method. It is our hope that these skills would equip students and leaders to build a lifestyle that constantly seeks to be transformed by God's truth. This year at the conference, your groups will walk together through the 40-minute study, Ignite Your Passion for God, to discover how to cultivate a deep desire for the Lord. The Encounter Student Conference will help your group create a community that is built on a common foundation, the truth that you are discovering together. Come and ignite your passion for God with us December 2nd through the 4th. Go to transformstudent.org and register today for the Encounter Student Conference.
And what, beloved, is your precept for life from this program today? What does God want you to do? What does God want you to know? Well, first of all, remember Paul was concerned that they knew the whole counsel of God. Because if you know the whole counsel of God, then you're not easily led astray. And so that's your protection. And so what you need to do is you need to study. You need to continue with this program because it's a unique program. It's unique in that God raised us up and put us on television in an entertainment mode in order not to entertain, but to train. To train God's people so that they can discern good and evil doctrine. And you know, to discern good and evil doctrine takes maturity. And this is what he talks about in Hebrews chapter 5. He tells them, he says, when the time is that you ought to be teachers, you have one that you have need that someone teach you again. The basics of the faith, because you've forgotten them. You've let them slip. And the problem is, we can get so involved in things, and that's what Philippians 3 is all about. We get so involved in things that knowing God and knowing His Word does not become our number one priority. And so if you're going to beware of evil dogs, of evil workers, and of the false circumcision. If you're going to beware of false prophets, if you're going to beware of wolves that come in to seek and drag off disciples after themselves and drag them off so that in a sense they can devour them and they can mutilate them and they can wring them dry and get all the money that they want to out of them and everything else and all the applause and all the accolades and then just leave them and leave them in shambles. You have to know the Word of God. And so I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for wanting to know His precepts of life. For through His precepts, Psalm 119 says, I get understanding. And not only do I have understanding, but it goes on to say, and I hate every false way. You hate the false way, not the false preacher, so to speak. Or the false teacher. But you hate the false way. And the reason that you hate the false way is you hate the false way because it's false. And because Jesus is truth. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the life, and I am the truth. No one comes to the Father but by Him. So stick with me, beloved, and study your Bible, study the course, and be approved unto God.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging onto our website at preceptsforlife.com.